Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. We will be joined by Jesse Kelly in a little bit over 30 minutes from now. Really looking forward to catching up with him on this frigid, frozen morning. John, we got a little breaking news.
Oh.
Metro Transit officials.
Mm-hmm.
It says that a cracked track has forced a blue line operations down to a single track today.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Metro Blue Line riders. Track repair is complete. This was tweeted out about a half hour ago or so. Track repair is complete. Regular services commencing throughout the line. Crews are working to get the trains back on schedule. That's another thing that people don't talk about with light rail. Light rail is severely impacted by weather like this, by, you know, heavy amounts of snow, you know, sub-zero temperatures. Light rail does not work very well. Yet, you know, for as much money as they want to spend on light rail, as much light rails they want to cram down our throats, you think they'd figure out how to get it to work better in weather like this in Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, you go and you watch those old period films and you see those you know, those street cars and ding 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 going down the road, and you think, yeah, you know, it's a good thing we got like automobiles now. We don't have to put on tracks anymore, you know, and we moved on
right
beyond the ding ding ding. You know, the only place that belongs is like San Francisco because it's kitschy.
Yeah, right. It's like they're cute. It's their thing.
That's their thing, right? It doesn't need to be a thing anywhere else. Certainly not. No, the light rail, street cars. Yeah. No, you're not kidding. Street car. You're not kidding. You're not fooling anybody.
And it's not like, you know, I mean, the weather, when the weather's this bad, there's no mode of transportation that is really ideal. I mean, roads are slick, but buses are, they work so much better. Works so much better,
right?
You know, when you get into these types of situations.
Logan's all into flying. He wants to be a pilot when he grows up. He's been working, saving his money so he can, you know, get his hours and all that. And he's constantly shooting video footage of planes in the sky. He's got an app. He can identify them and all this. He was all freaking out yesterday because there was a plane that was taking off from MSP, and it was like, how cold was it? It was so cold that the contrails were starting on liftoff. Because normally you get them when they're up at altitude.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because it's so cold.
Sure.
But you could actually see the contrails trailing off. You know, what are they spreading, Drew?
Yeah. Yeah. what are they putting in our air?
They're finding an opportunity to spray it even lower.
It's probably why we have this. It's not Arctic air. It's just chemtrail residue. It's making it this cold. That's probably what it is.
What are they spraying up there?
Vaccines.
Right. They're randomly vaccinating everybody.
That's what I think. That's what I think.
Is that what you think?
That's what I think. It's not what I think. I'm just kidding.
What is the conventional wisdom behind that? What do they actually think that they are spreading everywhere?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't know
that they ever really like settle on a thing.
Yeah.
It's just bad. Whatever it is bad.
It's just bad. It's not good. It's making us more compliant.
Yes.
For big government.
Or possibly gay, too.
Oh, okay, that too?
I don't know. I've heard that theory.
What?
I don't know.
Maybe we should explore that further.
better get some more spraying.
Right? Well, you know, if they are trying to make people more compliant by whatever they're spraying in the chemtrails, maybe that explains, you know, the DFL's wins in this past election. Can blame it on chemtrails.
You know what?
You know, why?
You have finally settled on a theory I might be able to buy into.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how else do you think someone like Keith Ellison gets elected?
They found some, like, secret chemical gas that makes people dependent and compliant.
Yeah, that's right.
I just want you to do everything for me.
Yeah, I don't care about their background anymore. I'm going to vote for him anyway. I don't care about the allegations against him that he treats women horribly. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to vote for him. Even though I have this perfectly capable, really upstanding dude that I could vote for, the chemtrails in my mind have altered my chemical pathways in my brain, forcing me to vote for this horrible, awful person. Thanks, chemtrails. Speaking of horrible, awful person, out of the Hill. This is interesting. At least one House Democrat has been privately urging members of the New York delegation to recruit a local politician from the Bronx or Queens to challenge Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, no.
The Democratic lawmaker who requested anonymity said, "What I have recommended to the New York delegation is that you find her a primary opponent and you make her a one-term congressperson. You've got numerous council people and state legislators who've been waiting 20 years for that seat. I'm sure they can find numerous people who want that seat in that district." The New York delegation has eyed Cortez with skepticism ever since she beat Joe Crowley, a Queens power broker, also was planning on being the House Democratic Caucus chairman, had been considered a possible future speaker as well.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, your job as a representative is to represent your district, and there are important things that you are supposed to do on behalf of your district and on behalf of your constituents. We hear from Tom Emmer all the time. I mean, one of his favorite things about being in the House of Representatives is that constituent services, where you're actually helping individuals in your district. AOC got elevated immediately when she won that primary to this big national platform, a stage that is much bigger than she can handle or that she is prepared for. And now she's saving the planet, man.
Right.
I mean, she is saving the planet here. She is, as you know, a freshman representative from this small New York district. She is taking on the entire planet and trying to save it from certain doom. Do you think she's really focused on constituent services?
No.
I mean, maybe she is. I don't know. You certainly don't hear about it. It's the not glamorous side of being a congressperson, and it doesn't typically make news. So there's a possibility that she's actually paying attention to that sort of thing and doing it. But I'm skeptical. I mean, I doubt it, you know, as a freshman and being elevated to the platform that she's been elevated to, and going on Colbert and Trevor Noah and all of these shows and becoming this big national figure overnight for no other reason than she's young and socialist.
Is it just the makeup of these particular districts? And so let me provide an example here, and we can use Ilhan Omar and Ocasio-Cortez together. But on Twitter yesterday, when Kamala Harris was getting all the attention, right, there was a lot of commentary around her online. I was sort of educating myself on her background and how people on the left feel about her, and I found, I mean, it's anecdotal, but I found a lot of pushback coming from the black community over her entrance and what she's said so far based off of her background as an attorney and what she's done in the past. There was a lot of people that were going, yeah, I don't know if I want, you know, I don't know if I want her running. I don't know if anybody should, you know, don't start propping up this person just yet. Look at all this stuff in their background. When you got individuals like Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar, we don't necessarily have any of that sort of baggage to couple with it. Are the people in New York, in Cortez's district, or when you look at Ilhan Omar, how much do they really care? I mean, is this more a makeup of those districts and the people, their attitudes when it comes to whoever represents them? You know, you got a guy like Tom Emmer. There's a level there where his constituents want to see him, and they want him to do, what are you doing for me? What are you doing to make it work? I think that for the most part on the right, as a representative, you get held to a much higher standard than you do, not in all districts, but than you do in a lot of, in our case, here, DFL districts. You know, I wonder if...
Minnesota, I would say that's true.
You know, in Ilhan, I don't know about New York. We don't live in New York. I don't know right. what their expectation is going to be. We know how small that voter turnout was that elected her to office.
I imagine there's... I it would not surprise me. Let me put it that way. It would not surprise me if there weren't a great deal of frustration of having AOC as your representative in that district. If she is not paying attention to, you know, the constituent services aspects of that job, and if she is just taking this newfound celebrity and running with it and acting like she's bigger than the district that elected her, then yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are some rather influential people, probably some, you know, power players within the party in that district that are like, yeah, this isn't going to work. You know, we have expectations that we are placing on you as the representative from this district, and you're taking this and you're just running and making a little celebrity out of yourself and showing up on magazine covers and going on Colbert and doing all these things, and that's not what we're looking for out of our representative.
Can you see the DFL pushing back on Ilhan Omar in any way? While she hasn't sought celebrity,
she certainly has gotten her name out there in terms of her extremism and her commentary so far.
I wouldn't rule out a significant primary challenge if she continues to sort of make an embarrassment of herself. You know, it's a little different here. And from what I understand, talking with people that are pretty well connected, you know, there are expectations on Ilhan Omar from within the DFL. And if she doesn't fulfill them, you know, I would not rule out a primary challenge yet. It's still very, very early. A lot's going to happen in the next couple of years. But if she doesn't meet the DFL's expectations, and those expectations have nothing to do with constituent services,
right,
mind you. But yeah, I could see them pulling the plug on the Ilhan Omar experiment.
My guess is that the voters for Ilhan Omar don't. That's, and again, I have nothing to base this off of. It's just my gut. My gut tells me they don't care. You know, I mean, if you did, why did you? You knew what you were going to get with her. You know, she didn't do any campaigning.
Well,
she didn't really have to. I mean, I could be wrong. I think it's going to be a different situation.
It's all about identity. You know, I mean, they wanted to be able to say,
yeah,
we're sending, you know, the first Somali American, and we're sending a Somali refugee. You know, it was all about it was all about the optics of it, and it was all about the identity of it. But now that she's in there, there are expectations on her, and if she doesn't fulfill them, and if she continues to sort of be an embarrassment with some of the, you know, nonsense that's coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
She could face a significant challenge.
Yeah. Well, unless she shows up in another Maroon 5 video.
That might do it.
Again, I hope not.
She could be Maroon 6. She just joined the band.
Did you hear, by the way? So Maroon 5 is playing the Super Bowl, right? Petition, change.org position, a petition, right? Asking them to boycott, but they're not going to. Apparently, they're going to meet in the middle. So Maroon 5, right, their fans demanding that they skip performing the halftime show at the Super Bowl in order to support NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick. He hasn't been a quarterback for a long time, right?
Why are they still calling him NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I don't even, he doesn't even get like, does he get former NFL quarterback? Because he's not playing for the NFL, right?
No.
I don't think
okay.
so.
Okay, hasn't no. for a little yeah, while I mean, now,
former
right?
NFL quarterback would
okay,
be accurate.
Yeah, he's not. Okay, all right.
Yeah, he's not an NFL quarterback.
So there are Maroon 5 is still going to perform, but they're not going to hold the traditional pregame press conference halftime acts normally do. So that's how they decided they're still going to go. And Maroon 5's not dumb, man. They know.
Yeah.
They know. They're like, we got an opportunity to play in front of a heck of a lot of people. And even though we're a rather popular band, that's a lot of exposure for us.
Yeah, of course.
You know, there's, of course. Yeah. Getting back to Ilhan Omar, to Ocasio-Cortez real quick. For now, it says Democratic lawmakers are playing nice with her 2.6 million Twitter followers and say no one in the Empire State's delegation is currently contemplating backing a primary challenger against her. We're going to see what happens. This is Representative Gregory Meeks, a Democrat out of New York. I'm giving folks the benefit of the doubt, the presumption of innocence. You might say one thing before you get in there, and then after you get to meet folks, you see what happens and how the body works. Things are different, so we'll see what happens. I can tell you that the times I've spoken to her and at the times she's been in New York delegation meetings, she's been cooperative and wants to be a team player. That's what she'd said, so I'm going to take her at her word until something changes. Super dumb team player, but a team player nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Turning our attention to some local issues. It is Gender-Based Violence Prevention Week in the legislature.
That sounds so much better than Sexual Assault Week.
Yeah. Well, okay.
See, like, when you just say Sexual Assault Week, it sounds like it's celebrating something that yeah. shouldn't be celebrating.
Well, right. But you're just doing that on your own. I mean,
it's
that
like,
wasn't...
Yeah, it's just, hey, let's go to the Capitol and get sexually assaulted. No. That sounds a lot better than Sexual Assault Week.
Yeah. Minnesota House Democrats, Democrats launch a week of proposed sexual assault reforms.
Okay.
The bills are a part of the Gender-Based Violence Prevention Week. Again, it's the DFL version of Shark Week, just with less teeth.
Why does everything got to be about identity? Why can't you just have Violence Prevention Week?
Just straight up.
I mean, because all violence happens to a gender.
How about keep your hands to yourself week? I mean, does gender... Gender doesn't matter.
Yeah, just 1 week.
Every victim of violence is a gender.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the... We'll get into more of it. We'll get into more of this coming up in a moment. But here's what I want to ask, though, up front. Why don't we ever have the conversation, right? When we're looking at further legislation on something that already exists, right? Okay, so we already have rules of conduct that are already in place.
Right.
You can apply this to the hands.
It's already illegal
right.
to commit an act of violence against somebody.
Yes, that's right. Same thing with like the hands-free, right? We're going to add these. It's already, you shouldn't be distracted driving as we have these things. Why don't we ever have the conversation first of why the current rules, in this case, the current rules of conduct and accountability don't apparently work?
Right.
What? Let's have that conversation first.
Right.
And then maybe we can identify that, oh, they do, you know, but just we can't ever catch everybody. And then maybe you don't have to move forward with all the new stuff.
Right. Right. No, no, they all think they have they all think they're going to pass the magic law eventually.
Oh,
magic
law.
They're going to pass the magic law that is going to end whatever it is that they're focusing on at that moment.
So it's a fantasy is what you're saying.
Yes, they're living in a fantasy.
Okay, life. Okay, I got you. I got
that. Wow. +1 989 5855 is the phone number. You can use #250 on your mobile device. Keep using that hashtag TCNT on Twitter as well. Let us know how you're coping with this just ridiculous weather.
Or if you're not, if you're just sitting at home.
Not
hiding.
Coping.
Yeah, not coping.
What are you doing? I'm not coping. You look like you're coping. I'm not.
It's just not.
I'm dying for some cocoa. That sounds really good right now.
Cocoa does sound really good right now.
We have the coffee machines make it.
That's Totally not going to get any, but it just
I'll get some.
No, no, don't.
Hot cocoa for everyone.
Yeah. I am glad my
cocoa run.
I told Sam I was very pleased though. My legs stopped sweating. So that was good.
I told him you've probably dehydrated his body from wearing his snow pants inside for hours.
Well, my body all the sweat. This information.
My body finally adjusted.
Nobody needs to know this.
When I got here, I was like, oh, maybe this was a mistake. Because I wore my snow pants and my snow boots.
I'm wearing all my clothes.
Yeah.
I put on every layer I could find.
You're like Joey from that Friends episode.
Yeah. I'm actually wearing pants.
Yeah.
Which I never do.
It's strange.
Yeah.
It's very weird. You have legs. Minnesota House Democrats planned,
I have legs. Planned for dresses.
To throw their weight behind several measures meant to reform sexual assault laws, as well as the way police and prosecutors handle cases. Again, can we have conversations why apparently the other ways don't work? Let's have those conversations, and then let's look at if we need to go and craft anything.
It's already illegal to sexually assault somebody. It's already illegal to assault somebody. We have plenty of laws that criminalize this behavior. So before you go and just start proposing new law after new law after new law, let's have a conversation about what's not working with these current laws. Is it just a lack of enforcement? Is it a lack of training on police departments? Or is it a lack of training on prosecutors? Who are not able to get the convictions that they need in these cases? Are they not gathering the correct or right amount of evidence? Where are we falling short in eliminating this type of behavior that we've already criminalized? And if you can't come up with some specific areas, chances are you probably don't need new laws.
For far too long, victims and survivors of sexual assault have had their judicial system fail them in their efforts to hold violators accountable. That's according to Carlos Mariani, a DFLer, a chair of the House Public and Safety Criminal Justice Reform Committee. Mariani said his committee will hold hearings over 3 days on sexual assault reforms as part of his Gender-Based Violence Prevention Week. A bill introduced... by a DFLer and a Republican would require Minnesota law enforcement agencies to adopt policies on how to investigate sexual assaults. Another would create a task force convened by the Minnesota Commissioner of Public Safety charged with rewriting the state's criminal sexual conduct laws.
I'm not going to, you know, dismiss this out of hand. We had Tom Emmer on the show last week talking about the Abby Honnold Act, and that's an act that provides grants to provide training for people who are tasked with interviewing the victims of sexual assault, because we have learned, you know, we've learned about how, you know, things about how the brain operates in a traumatic situation. And there are specific techniques that these investigators can use when interviewing these victims to, you know, extract accurate and valuable information that they otherwise might not get if they weren't trained in these techniques. So, you know, if you're going to go that route, if we've learned new information and we've developed new tactics and strategies to make it easier to get a conviction against somebody who has committed, you know, some horrible crime, that's fine. That's one thing.
Right. Another bill would make it a crime to touch someone on their clothed buttocks with sexual aggression and intent.
Okay. I mean, I'm surprised that wasn't already a crime.
Right. I just, again, the sexual aggression and intent.
What does that mean?
I guess I shouldn't make fun. I really want to.
The Al Franken.
Was that what we're calling that? Yeah. Mariana said the effort to pass the proposals is being pushed in part by media attention.
And that's the part.
Particularly the Star Tribune's Denied Justice series. I keep making this point.
That's the part where my skepticism starts to get raised. If this is just a knee-jerk sort of reaction to, hey, that hashtag MeToo thing was big, so, you know, let's jump on this bandwagon. You know, if you're not passing, you know, something that of real merit and of real value that is going to protect victims and make it easier to get prosecutions against people who have committed these acts, then you're just wasting everybody's time.
See, this is why so many of the mainstream media and media in general were so frustrated. I mean, on the myriad of things, were so frustrated with President Donald Trump and the hashtag fake news label that he slapped, because he was finally calling attention to something that we all already knew. How many different examples do we need about the, and again, it's not the Star Tribune's responsibility. I keep saying it. They're not the legislature. I get that. But you can't deny the power that media outlets have at a local level, on a national level, to drive particular narratives and stories. And you go back to that Minlars editorial that was really good that they did. It was very comprehensive about the problems of Minlars, what they've been dealing with, what that needs to be done to get fixed. But for crying out loud, you go back to last year, there wasn't any of that when it came to it. Yeah. It was just glaze it over, GOP's in power, they're the ones screwing it up, they're not giving Dayton what he wants, you know, blah, 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 blah. Now that Dayton's out of office, suddenly now they grow a brain and look at the issue accordingly. And again, it's not their job to go and fix things, but it needs to be drawn. It needs to have attention drawn to the amount of power that they have. And in this case, you have potential criminal justice reform sexual assault laws that could be crafted based off of an expose in the Star Tribune. And that's all that, you know, certain legislators need. Because why? A lot of people paid attention to it. And a lot of people are looking at it now. So this can make it seem like I'm going and doing something. And it might be something worthwhile. It might be. Or it might be something that is on top of what already is being done and could end up potentially stripping away freedoms from individuals because we start to generalize particular issues in order to make it easier for somebody to go and get a conviction against somebody else. It's frightening.
Yeah, make sure what you're doing has merit. Make sure what you're doing has value. And make sure what you're doing is based on, you know, the latest relevant and valuable information. You know, and if you can meet those criteria, then fine. You know, maybe there is some merit to passing another law, to passing a new law when it comes to this specific type of behavior. Chances are, and again, this is my skepticism coming in, chances are this is going to be more style over substance and grandstanding and showboating by elected officials.
Drew, did you ever see the Mel Gibson movie, Sam U2, the What Women Want?
No.
Right? Sam,
I don't think I did.
No, but they're doing a version, they're doing a female version.
Right, yeah. So What Men Want.
Yeah.
With one of the stars of Empire.
Yes.
It looks horrible.
Well, the first one looked horrible. The Mel Gibson.
What Women Want. Yeah, I'd be curious to see how that's held up, because that was probably early 2000s, if I'm not mistaken. I'd have to look it up.
I'll look it up.
That one came out. All this may become a moot issue. I have an article in my hand. Technology Review. Brain implants AI and speech synthesizer have turned brain activity into robot words.
What?
Okay, so we're getting closer to being able to read somebody's mind.
Well, no, not really read somebody's mind. Have somebody's mind just spit everything out at you. That sounds terrible.
Neural networks.
I don't want people knowing what I'm really thinking.
Have been used to turn words that that a human has heard into intelligible, recognizable speech. It would be a step toward technology that can one day decode people's thoughts. Okay, so...
Could you imagine having like a loudspeaker connected to your brain?
Well...
Nobody would like anybody. Ever.
Ever.
We have... Here's the thing. We already have a real-world example now. Because we've done this thought experiment before, and I remembered the conversation just about, you know, what things would be like if you could actually go and read somebody's thoughts and how that would just change the dynamic of everything. But isn't that kind of what Twitter does for a lot of people?
Oh, I don't know.
But the
I don't know. People put up a facade.
No, but what I'm saying is an anonymous Twitter user, if you want an example of how bad this would be to read everybody's thoughts, an anonymous Twitter user that has no identifiers on their Twitter page, that just goes out there and I think that that is like the closest that you're going to get for a lot of people of their true thoughts, especially the real ridiculous nonsense stuff.
Well, maybe,
that's what they really think.
Maybe. But it also may just be a troll. It may just be somebody who does that for fun. You don't know. It could just be like, sure. Hey, someone who's thinking up like, hey, what's the worst thing I could possibly say to this person in this situation? I've got an anonymous Twitter account. There's going to be zero consequences for me. I don't really believe it, but let's see what happens if I say it.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, you don't know. Yeah, for some people, you might be getting unfiltered, unvarnished stream of consciousness. But for other people, you may just be getting a complete and utter facade.
If you're not talking about Russian trolls, okay, so let's take that out of the equation right. Real quick. If we're not talking about somebody that is in just a random individual, I am of the opinion that the majority of individuals who have anonymous Twitter accounts that spew the ridiculous nonsense, that's what they really think and believe. I think the ones that are trolling, one, you can usually tell when they're trolling, and two, I think a lot of those people don't really care if they're anonymous or not.
Yeah.
You know? And then again, kind of going back to the thought experiment here, it would be bad, and that's the example in my opinion, because you'd end up actually hearing the thoughts.
You'd live in a Star Tribune comment section.
Oh!
Could you imagine?
You'd live on the TC, hashtag TCNT Twitter feed this morning. Could you imagine?
Look, most of the TCNT Twitter feed is wonderful.
Most of it's fine.
Wonderful, great people.
Right.
It's just a couple.
Most. Just a few. But I'm not convinced are real. Again, if they are, yeah. Oh, that's a sad, miserable existence that you live in, man.
What Women Want came out in 2000.
2000, so I was right. So I'd be curious to go back and watch and see how in the 19 years, how the social norms of whatever writer of that film thought that women were actually
I'd imagine,
thinking.
Like, you watch that film now, there's probably a lot of jokes that are going to make you go, ooh. Especially when they come out of Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem I had with this new trailer when I watched the What Men Want one. I was kind of like,
I know.
From what you've shown me, I'm not buying that that's...
Like, the big joke is, like, somebody crop dusted her.
Yeah.
They were all pleased with themselves.
I smell toast. Am I having a heart attack? I don't know. That was all really weird.
Yeah.
Like, the Netflix show, You, sadly, is more true to life. I'm almost excited now because Drew started watching it, so he's enjoyed it so far. So real quick, thanks to fMRI scanning, we've known for decades that when people speak or hear others, it activates specific parts of your brain. Now a team from Columbia University temporarily placed electrodes. This cracks me up, by the way, because it always looks fake when you see a movie or something being done and they got the little electrodes on their heads. You go, it's just fake. But they actually go and do that. They placed electrodes in the brains of 5 people scheduled to have brain surgery for epilepsy. The volunteers were asked to listen to recordings of sentences, and their brain activity was used to train deep learning-based speech recognition software. Then they listened to 40 numbers being spoken. The AI tried to decode what it heard on the basis of the brain activity and then spoke the results out loud in a robotic voice. The voice produced was
terrible.
Understandable as the right word 75% of the time, according to the volunteers who listened to it. So 75% of the time, it's right every time. At the moment, the technology can only reproduce words that these five patients have heard, and it wouldn't work on anybody else. But there is hope that a technology like this could one day bring about the downfall of humanity. I'm sorry, that's not what it said. Could one day let people who have been paralyzed communicate with their family and friends despite losing the ability to speak or be used for the powers of evil? No.
Yeah. Just an unfiltered loudspeaker attached to your brain.
God made them thoughts for a reason.
Yes.
He made them in your head for a reason.
I want to keep my friends.
Right. Yeah. I want to remain free.
Supreme Leader Jesse Kelly, Twitter provocateur, joins us next. Final segment of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. We are completely defrosted now from our ride in. It's almost time to get back out on the roads and traverse home on the black ice laden roads. But first, we are thrilled to be joined.
Watch out,
Jesse.
By our regular Wednesday guest, Jesse Kelly. Good morning, sir.
Hang on, guys. I got to turn on the air conditioning. It's just a little bit too warm down here.
Is it now?
How are you?
Is it really?
See, that's not cool, man.
It's fine. Look, it's not all fun and games down here. It took me a good 5 minutes to find the right pair of shorts to wear today.
I was going to start talking with you and explain how you're not a monster and you do something like that.
I don't know what you're talking about. Look, the heat's no joke. I mean, how's the weather up there? You guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine. I'm in snow pants right now.
Jesse, my face is like pink and red because tissue is dying on it from being outside for like being in the wind for like 3 minutes yesterday.
What are you at? You're about 60 degrees, Jesse, down there
Absolutely not. It's like 56, 57. It's not even that nice.
It's not even that nice.
I grew up in Bozeman, Montana, and so I know what 20, 30 below with the wind feels like, and it hurts to breathe. Your snot in your nose freezes when you breathe in. It's just horrible.
It's pretty awful.
Well, what I was going to mention was you actually have been tweeting this morning, and I had to do a double take to make sure there wasn't some joke in there I wasn't missing, but you were tweeting concern about the homeless individuals in various places, not just here in Minnesota, having to deal with the bitter cold outside. So you're not a monster. You are actually using Twitter for good.
No, I'm still definitely a monster. It's so easy to forget about the homeless. You know what I mean? They're crazy. They don't look right. They don't smell right. We'd just rather ignore them and forget they're not there. But those are real people. You know, they're real people, and they're freezing. And lots of times, people die. Those people die during these kind of things.
Yeah, so it's also easy to forget that you're dealing with a lot of veterans. You know, the veteran homelessness is a real problem. You're dealing with people with mental health issues, and that's contributing to why they're homeless. I mean, you know, it's very easy to sort of create a negative caricature in your mind of someone that's found themselves in that situation. So you forget that, you know, a lot of times you're dealing with people with legitimate and real problems that they need help with.
It's true. And if you ever take the time, as I know you guys have, and you talk to one of these people, you'll find out you're not that many steps removed from being where they are.
Right.
You like to look at them and imagine, oh, fuck, glad I'll never end up there. Well, if you'd gone left instead of right a couple times, you might have ended up there. They're real people.
You know, and that's a good point, too, especially when we're dealing with the issue that we had recently with this homeless encampment and the way that the city mismanaged it. And to your point, you know, holding people responsible is the right way to go and is the compassionate thing to do, because you put people in a position where they have to go and make tough choices or go and get outreach from individuals that do this for a living. When you just allow it to perpetuate and act like, well, you're going to be allowed to go ahead and break these laws, you're starting off as a negative, and that's not in the best benefit for the individuals. Like you mentioned, there's some people that have chosen to live a life on the streets, and we all know those particular individuals often don't want to seek help or shelter help. But for the individuals that suddenly found themselves there, you know, they often don't realize there are other options out there, and you do need to go and hold the people accountable, even if they are homeless, and oftentimes that's the best thing for them. So I just wanted to kind of take an opportunity to add to the conversation in regards to that.
Oh yeah, no, you're right, and a shocking number of them have chosen that life, but that's no less sad.
No,
I, for some reason, I don't think that's any less sad at all to wake up one day and just decide you're going to separate yourself from society and live under a bridge. You're in a tough spot. So I'm grateful that's not me, and we just need to help them out, especially when it's cold like that.
We've had a lot of candidates on the left have already come out and declared they're going to be running in 2020. There's a story here, and I'll add this to the question. Nancy Pelosi's out of the Hill. Nancy Pelosi puts a tight grip on talk of impeachment. In the weeks since taking the speaker's gavel, Pelosi has tamped down the impeachment talk in her ranks, according to multiple lawmakers, arguing it's important to allow special counsel Robert Mueller to wrap up his investigation into whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to sway the 2016 election. The effort is paying dividends, winning over even the most liberal Trump critics in the caucus, while dissuading new acolytes to the impeachment effort, which has struggled to find a foothold in the new Congress. I think a part of this has to do, I guess first question is, I think, and I'm curious to get your thoughts, a part of this has to do with the fact that the expectation every day seems to be that when Mueller finally does release this report, it's not going to be nearly as certainly not criminally damaging, but maybe not even nearly as politically damaging as many of those on the left were hoping.
Yeah, and it shows how savvy Nancy Pelosi is. There's, like you just mentioned, there's not going to be anything there to impeach him with. And Nancy Pelosi, the reason she won the shutdown showdown with Donald Trump was she realized that the public just wants a lot less noise out of D.C. The public just wanted it to end, and they don't want an impeachment trial. You remember when we tried that with Clinton? It hurt the Republicans. It didn't hurt Clinton. It hurt us.
Yeah.
The public doesn't want that. There better be something concrete, black and white, or insignificant there, and she knows it's not there, and so she's doing what's best for her party. She's a savvy one. She's good.
Well, and to that, to being savvy, this is what I wanted to ask. You know, you already see Kamala Harris flip-flopping on her Medicare for All, get rid of everybody's private health insurance. Her advisors came out in less than 24 hours and said that she would be open to other types of health care plans where that didn't happen. We mentioned earlier this morning that it seemed like she was really taking a sort of adult Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez route in the way that she presented herself in the start of her campaign. I'm wondering, speaking of being savvy, do you think the 2020 candidates are going to wise up and realize that perhaps going as far left as they're planning on going may not be the best move, or do you expect that's still going to be the case for the majority of them?
No, they're not going to wise up, and she'll continue to screw up like that, too, because the campaign's not a place for sober wisdom. It's a place where you try to whip up your base into a rabid, drooling, foaming-at-the-mouth frenzy, and that's what they'll all do. They'll all try to out-communist each other,
yeah.
And then the general election will come around, and then they'll have to spend a lot of time trying to moderate and walk that back, like every presidential candidate does.
Well, what's going to be really terrifying is, you know, the lessons learned from the last campaign, right? The last presidential campaign. You know, all those candidates are looking at that data, are analyzing that data, are looking at, you know, how many young people flocked to the Bernie Sanders campaign and abandoned the Hillary Clinton campaign. And they're not going, you know, I worry that they're not going to learn the real lessons, which is Hillary Clinton was just massively unlikable and a terrible candidate. But the lessons they're going to take from it is, no, they really liked Bernie Sanders' policies, and they really think these are good ideas. So they're going to adopt them. You know, they're going to take it, and they're going to ramp it up. They're going to turn Bernie Sanders up to 11. in order to woo that crowd and get the nomination.
You know what really worries me, Drew, is that I'm worried about how appealing that's going to be to the masses now. I mean, we like to think, those of us on the right, that we hear Medicare for all, we hear Bernie Sanders' insane ideas like no tuition college and things like that, and we like to think to ourselves, God, these people are so nuts. That's way out of the mainstream. I'm not so sure it is anymore. That kind of crazy socialist policies have a frightening foothold in this country, and I'm not so sure Bernie Sanders couldn't win a general election today.
Yeah, you're. I think you're right,
Jesse Kelly. Good luck with your temperatures today. I know it's chilly out where you're at, and so we're asking you to be safe.
I'm drinking a lot of water. The body doesn't cool itself. You got to give it that cool. So I'm drinking a lot of water. I'm trying to stay inside, stay out of the sun. You know, you guys do the same. I understand it's a little cooler up there.
You're enjoying this way too much, Jesse.
Yeah, man. You're
way
evil.
Too much.
You are a monster.
Hold on. You know what? I'm going to go tank top. Hang on.
All right. I'm hanging up on you.
Bye, Jesse. So before we get out of here today, we do have a special news report that needs to be played, right?
Right. A lot of worries, a lot of concerns. Black ice is out there, you know, on the roadways right now. And we found this little clip of audio that is very relevant if you're on the roads this morning.
Good evening, St. Paul. It's your city news at 5. I'm Jamie Thornburg.
And I'm Marcy Whitchurch. Winter weather advisories are in effect across central Minnesota tonight. With more on that, weatherman Isaac Labuda. Isaac.
Thanks, Marcy. A major system is zipping across the region. Outside temp right now, 8 degrees, but it feels like 20 below. Jamie?
Well, stay off the roads if you can, folks. Lots of reports of black ice.
Ooh, you gotta watch out for that dangerous black ice. It's transparent and sneaky. Hard to see black ice.
That's right, Marcy. Keep your loved ones safe and warn them to stay off the streets tonight because of menacing, life-robbing black ice.
Isaac.
We have Channel 17's field reporter Darren Hempner with more. Darren?
Yeah. I'm standing out here in his...